mum's the word. But we're telling everyone. It's BOGO 50% off time at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Just in time for Mother's Day, buy any pair of shoes, get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Treat mom or yourself to the perfect spring styles from must-own brands. And hurry. Unlike a mother's love, this deal won't last forever. So make mom proud and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Infield all coming in, making the slow walk to the mound. So is Salvador Perez. Here comes Matt Quatero, and that's going to be it for Noah Cameron. What a night for him. He's getting pats on the back from all of his teammates. He's had an incredible Major League debut. What a night. As Matt Quatero takes the baseball, a lot of Royals fans are here, and a lot of Noah Cameron fans are here. As he walks off to the dugout, the Royals bring on John Schreiber, with the Royals leading 3-0.
How about the young man from St. Joe last night, right?
That's way to go.
As a start, I wish we had Q on today as well as yesterday.
Call him right now. They're getting ready for a game, right? It's 10 o'clock, 2 hours away. He ain't doing anything.
Oh, sorry, Q thought it was Wednesday. I am not listening. But no, what a start. What a game. I was suspect at the start. I thought it was Jacob Junis. Then I saw the rec specs. I'm kidding. And then the guy went out there and shoved and did exactly what you like to see a guy do that is trying to make a roster, trying to make a point. Get in there, throw strikes, get efficient pitching, and get out of the innings. Five pitches you said in the first inning?
Five pitches.
52 going into the fifth inning. That's something that we don't see a lot from these Royal starters, right? Like, there's been times in the past where you're like, damn, Reagan's already at 73 pitches and it's only the fourth inning. Like, I really wish that wasn't the case. Strikeout pitchers obviously have more pitch counts, obvious. But, like, tonight we'll watch Seth Lugo. Let's see where he's at in the fifth inning when it comes to pitches. Last night, that kid absolutely shined, and I thought that was great. Obviously, the local story, he's going up against a team that's, you know, 500 or, you know, just a game below with a team that kind of needs this spot start. Like, you're probably as a generic, you know, mindset of this game, like, can he just get to the fifth, and then we can bring in Lynch, and then we can bring in, you know, Schreiber, and then maybe go to the bullpen. He got you all the way to the seventh inning, 6 1/3 is what he threw. And you heard the audio, and then the bullpen came in, did their job, and you shut out the Rays.
Yeah,
that's now three shutouts in five games. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr., 21-game hit streak. That is now extended. Did that in the first inning. Then got an RBI later on. Look, I know the offense isn't there, and it's still 30th in the league at 2.9 runs per game, but they look like a team that isn't letting that derail their season. Because it could, and it has before in the past with Royals. But what they're doing right now is they're accepting what it is. And it kind of gives me Chiefs vibes where, like, there was a time where the Chiefs offense was just not clicking. And it was like, defense, I'm sorry. I know it's the third week in a row. We just need you to go out there and not give up more than 14, and we'll be able to hang around. We can win this thing 17-14, I promise. The Royals right now have spent the entire month of April just piano weight on the back of this pitching staff. And the pitching staff isn't bitching, complaining, moaning, doing anything. They're going out there and doing their job. And eventually, I think, like Quatero said yesterday, winning will bring this team around and get people out of this funk. Vinny hits a home run last night after Bobby Witt Jr. gets on base. It's 2-0. You're playing with the lead early, and the result was a win. And you also shut them out the night before. You won what? 4-1? 3-1?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What was it? I can't remember.
They only gave up one run. That's the point.
They're winning, and they're above 500, and we're in May, and that's a good thing. And that's all that matters is their record right now and where they are, you know, at the end of the first month of the season. Because normally at the first month of the season, they're out of it, it's over, and everybody's moved on to something different. But now they're above 500. They're one of the better teams in all of Major League Baseball right now, and that's what matters most is their record. And they find ways to win, and that's the meaning of a true team is that they figure it out. And the Cameron thing is good for a couple of reasons. Number one, he was good enough to get a second start, right? And so that gives you another week, another 5 days, however you want to phrase it, to let Cole Reagans heal, to make sure he's 100% healthy. And he talked about like being ready to play, and the organization, as Q told us yesterday, you know, we're not interested in bringing him back right now. We're going to give him a break. It's our words, not his. Now you get the opportunity to say, okay, just make sure you're still, you know, 100% healthy with the way that this Cameron pitched, because he deserves another run through the rotation. And I'm interested to see how he then evolves through the rotation as well, because, you know, once you have that big league debut, now the book's out on you. People are going to know what's coming, right? Noah Cameron knew he was pitching on Sunday, and nobody else did, right? They kept that a secret so nobody could prepare for him. Now the book's out on him. How does he evolve? How does he take the next step? And if he takes the next step and does good in his next start, okay, now maybe you got something here, and you like to see the development and the growth of a player last night. And so that's what last night was for me. You saw Noah Cameron pitch good. The 21-game hitting streak's intact. You won, and you finish the month of April above 500. And I think for a lot of Royals fans, that's a big deal, because we're not used to being above 500.
And the thing that's always ringing in my ears is what Vern says until I'm, you know, 6 feet under. And that is, what's going to get this team, not talking about the Yankees, not talking about the Mets, not talking about the Dodgers, any other, what's going to get this team to the playoffs is pitching, defense, and base running. And that was all there last night. And some people on the text line say, last night looked like the team that we were promised. This looked like a playoff team. This was a team that went out there, rallied behind their pitcher, got their runs in when they needed them. And again, like, they hit the ball last night. They've just got to get these guys in. And that will come. That'll eventually get there. And, you know, it was nice to see Vinny Pasquantino. First pitch he saw, home run, 2-0. They won the game. They're 16-15. They survived April. And I know some people would say, oh, that's low bar, low hanging fruit to survive April. How many times in the past of the negative text we got this morning, this is a terrible franchise, 30 years of sadness. How many times in the past, like you mentioned earlier, have we looked at April and been like, boy, we are how many days away till the schedule gets released and I'm going to go on vacation and all this sort of stuff. Now you're going home today at noon or whatever you're doing, driving around your car, and you're going, I'm tuned in. Not just because of a hit streak, not just because of maybe it's, you know, a sweep opportunity, but because this team is winning, and they're winning at a good rate to where they're 16-15 and they're hanging around.
I mean, there's 6 months of a baseball season, essentially, right? You got April, May, June, July, August, and September, right? Those are your 6 months of the baseball season. If you're two games over 500 every month of the baseball season, you finish the year 12 games over 500. That's a pretty good spot to be in, right? If you're two games over 500 in April, then you're two games over 500 in May. Now you're four games over 500. And then another two and another. And eventually you find yourself, wow, we're 12 games over 500. And when you think about where you are at 12 games over 500, 81 and 81 is 500. Add 12 to that 81, you're sitting at what? You're sitting at 93 wins, right? All of a sudden, now you're thinking, all right, we're in a pretty good spot. We're 93 wins. That gives you a postseason berth. So that's all you have to do is literally, it is in baseball, survive in advance. Win that month. Be good and be better than everybody else just one or two more times every single month, and you're going to find yourself into the postseason. And I still think we need to teach people how to watch baseball in this town. I mean, I'll go to bat and say it's a baseball town, but as the Royals continue to get better as a baseball team, I'm reminded of how much we still need to learn as a collective fan base about ways to watch this team. Or I should say, the vocal minority of fans who are texting in or complaining about this and complaining about that. The Royals put together one hell of a month in April. That you can't ask for anything better than what the Royals did. Yes, are there things that need to be cleaned up? You better believe there are. There are things on every team in Major League Baseball right now that need to be cleaned up and that need to be better. But you survived that first month. You're above 500. You're one of the better teams in the American League right now. And that's what you need to rest your laurels on. You can't think of this as football. You can't think of this as any other sport other than what baseball is. It is a slow, methodical sport that takes place every day. And what you did yesterday does not matter today. What you do today does not matter tomorrow. What you did last year has no impact on what you're doing right now. As long as you keep this momentum going, you keep losing teams losing, you take care of business against Tampa and Baltimore and the Chicago White Sox that are coming up, you're going to put yourself in a really, really good position. You don't have to win these games against the Yankees. You don't have to win these games against the Tigers. As long as you keep losing teams losing, you're going to be in the postseason, and then anything can happen. Because if these guys pitch like this in October, it's going to be really hard to eliminate the Royals.
The Royals three games back at the Tigers after the first month. It's perfect, right? You're 16-15, Cleveland 17-13, Detroit 19-12. That was always the situation. Who is going to take over the Tigers? Who's going to take over Cleveland? If you're the Royals and you want to do it, you got to do it now. May starting, get the bats going, and you can eliminate that three game in 1 month to, let's say they're a game out at the end of May. Then it really gets started in the summer.
Then people are excited.
And you've kept, for what I could think the most part, you've kept the audience, which is another important thing to do. Like, you're going to have people going out to the games now that summer's getting ready to start, I think, unless they go to school all the way to June 30th. But, like,
I know Missouri goes into June, don't they?
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. But, like, it's fun is, I think, what the best part about this is. Like, you could say it's not fun because they're not hitting home runs and they're not doing anything like that. Like, would you say that the Yankees have 11 home runs in the first inning this year and the Royals have 10 total or something like that?
It
was some wild stat that I found interesting because it is crazy because they've hit, I know for a fact, they've hit 7 home runs in the first inning because they hit 4 off that guy in Milwaukee and they hit 3 off that Kyle Gibson dude in Baltimore the other day.
The Yankees have 15 first inning home runs going into last night's game. Mm-hmm. The Royals had 13 all season. Now they have 14 with Vinny Pasquantino's home run last night.
Sweet.
The Yankees have 15 in the first inning. Mm. The Royals have now 14 on the season. I was watching the Orioles broadcast last night, and they had said that after Judgment Yard. Like, this is the 15th time the Yankees have hit a home, and then they just do a drive-by of the Royals for no reason. The Royals have 13 homers in all of the innings. Mm. Like, damn. You got to take care of business now. Now you got that opportunity to go out there against some of these bottom feeders and win some games, and that's what it's all about. You can't lose games to Minnesota. You can't lose games to Chicago. You can't lose games now to Baltimore, who's not a very good baseball team. So you got Baltimore, you got the White Sox, you got the Red Sox, then you go to Houston, then you've got St. Louis, and then the middle of May, you're headed out to San Francisco. And that's probably your next really big test is San Francisco coming up. Maybe at Houston next week could be a little bit of or 2 weeks from now could be a little bit of a difficult test, but you've got the opportunity to finish off Tampa, get that sweep, tickets as low as $3 today if you're headed down to Tampa for the game. And then you've got games against Baltimore, who's they're not playing inspired baseball at all. And then the White Sox come to town for 1, 2, 3, 4. You gotta fatten up against the White Sox with those four games coming up at the beginning of next week, and you can get into the games at the K for as little as $3 on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and $4 on Wednesday. So get on out to the K.
Damn, that's a hell of a deal. Coming up on the other side, mathless baseball. That's what it says, mathless baseball. And the possibilities that you now have with what happened last night. We'll dive into that as well. And 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan as we roll through what we're calling Thursday. A lot of people don't know this, Mac. Tomorrow's Friday. A lot of people don't know that.
Friday.
Thursday is Friday Junior. I'm also one of these people. I'm not a big fan of the people who send emails happy Monday or happy Friday either, right? Like, nobody has a happy Monday. And by the time I get your email on a Friday, I'm gone for the day. So
I'll read it on my non-happy Monday.
On Monday is probably when I get happy Friday. I just want to let you know that we're having snacks in the break room at 3 o'clock today. Okay, thank you very much for all of that. One of the interesting things that we saw yesterday, though, was the fact that Noah Cameron went out there and pitched well. Which, by the way,
Cy Young candidate.
Why are we interviewing his parents when he's pitching? Like, why couldn't we interview his parents in the bottom of the inning when he wasn't pitching yesterday? Like, these people are trying to watch their son in his major league debut, and you got the TV crew down there going, "So, how'd you get the news?" The guy's like, "My kid's pitching out here. I'd like to kind of watch this take place in front of me so I can remember his debut," but that's neither here nor there.
It was like the fifth inning, wasn't it?
No, it was the third inning. Okay. And he's out there pitching. I'm like, come on now.
I didn't hate it.
Oh, I did. I imagine being a parent and your kid's trying to play and you got some guy with a microphone in your face trying to, tell you, what's going on. I do it in the bottom half of the inning and let's do it that way. But Noah Cameron pitching the way that he did yesterday, a buddy of mine sent me a text. He goes, "Well, now we got an opportunity maybe for some trade bait out here." And I'm thinking to myself, you're not wrong about that, right? If he continues to pitch like this, somebody becomes expendable out there on the roster, whether it's him or, as you had mentioned in break, which I think is a really good one, Chris Bubich may be the type of guy that you can flip for a bat now, middle of the season.
Yeah, people will hate this conversation because you fall in love with people over short periods of time. Last year, I was advocating that they should trade Brady Singer in the offseason. Oh, you can't trade Brady Singer.
I said that all last year. And people thought I was nuts.
And what happened?
They traded him.
And they got their leadoff hitter. Well, he can't hit his weight. Okay. Well,
this team is no better with Brady Singer, just to let you know.
Now, the other thing I will tell you is that Noah Cameron is not going to pitch like that all the time.
No.
Like, that's obvious. Like, he's not the guy that I would say that. Now, the reason I bring up Chris Bubich, and I want you guys to relax when I say this, you and stop, 6'4". Marsh has no trade value. Okay.
Who?
Alec Marsh has now been named twice by the same. Alec Marsh has zero trade.
He's not even in the big leagues.
Michael Lorenzen is going to be traded and have more bring back than Marsh will. Okay? Like, I hate to break this to a lot of people, but to get something, you got to give something. And to get Jonathan India, an everyday player that's going to be a leadoff hitter, you had to give up something of value, and that was Brady Singer because you had value there. Now, if you think that Chris Bubich is a franchise pitcher for the next 10 years and he could constantly be this type of guy, then you can call me a Richard and say that I'm an idiot for bringing this up. But when I look at value and I think of things and I go to my fantasy football mindset in this, and I know text line and listeners, I know this isn't fantasy world, this is real life baseball. You have to give a little to get a little. And right now, Chris Bubich's market is extremely hot. And I don't know if he's going to continue this sort of pitching. I think he will be the pitcher of the month for the Royals in April. And I think Bobby will be the hitter of the month, obviously, in April, because nobody else is even on the ballot. And some people will say, hey, you know, like, what about Cole Reagans? He was really good. He had 31 strikeouts. He did. Reagans and Bubich will battle it out for the pitcher of the month. But I think that when you look at what Chris Bubich has done and you look at what you need, you have Lugo, you have Marsh, you have Lugo, you have Lorenzen, you have Reagans, you have, you know, maybe this Noah Cameron kid. You have pitching. What you don't have, Michael Wacha's there as well. What you don't have is the fact that a bat to go behind Bobby at right now. Now, Salvador Perez does look like he's starting to get back
to
the Salvi way, and he's going to be there. But, like, what do you need more right now? Four badass starters or three really good starters, a decent fourth guy, and an every other day, every other start, fifth guy in your rotation, and a solid bat to go behind Bobby Witt Jr. or to go in front of Bobby Witt Jr.
You need a bat on this team. And the only way to get a bat is to deal somebody in this organization.
Correct.
There isn't one in the minor leagues that you can bring up this year. And so you need to go out and acquire that talent. We talked about it. The first 30, 40 games of the season, you evaluate where we are. We've evaluated where we are right now, right?
Right.
We need a bat. And we've got some good pitchers. And so you take from a strength and you deal from that, which is what the Brady Singer thing was last year. The Chris Bubich deal. If you want to deal Chris Bubich, I'm fine dealing Chris Bubich. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem trading anybody except for Bobby Witt. You know, like I'm into that category.
I wouldn't trade Cole.
Yeah, probably Cole too. But the point is, everybody's expendable. Everybody's movable. We've got to stop living in this world. And again, this is why I kind of want to reteach baseball now that the Royals are winning. We got to stop living in a world where we value prospects. The St. Louis Cardinals had a former general manager pass away last week by the name of Walt Jocketty. And when he built the St. Louis Cardinals, they developed their minor league system to a point where it was like the Yankees, where they would just talk about guys and everybody would want their players. And then they would deal them for proven major league players back in return. They did that with Mark McGwire. They did that with Matt Holliday. You know, there were guys over the years that the St. Louis Cardinals were able to do that with. The same goes for the New York Yankees. If you were a hyped up prospect in the New York Yankee system, chances are you were getting traded and we were never going to hear from you again. And they would trade those guys and then they would get big league players back in return that were proven at the big league level. And that's where I am. There's only two players, in my opinion, in this entire organization that I wouldn't consider trading at this point in time, and that is Bobby and Cole. Everybody else, including Caglione, you're all available to make the big league ball club better. And that's how the Yankees and Cardinals did it for so long. That was their plan. They would hype up these prospects. People would think these prospects would be good. They'd give you four or five of them, and then you'd get a proven big leaguer back in return. You know where else it worked? Right here in Kansas City. Every trade that Dayton Moore and his staff made on that run to the 2014 and 2015 World Championship were dealing of prospects. And it all started with, you know, obviously you traded Zach Greinke, and he was the veteran guy, but you got the bulk of your team back in return. You also got a couple of guys in that trade that were prospects that you could flip forward. You traded Will Myers, your alleged biggest prospect. He went on and had a very nice big league career. Wouldn't have won a world championship if you didn't trade Will Myers.
And probably would have disappointed a lot of Royals fans.
Yeah, probably
they'd
so.
They'd have not thought he was.
Or he would have gotten to his sixth year and he would have walked. And, you know, we all know how that would have gone with Will Myers. Trading Will Myers. I remember the dorks and the nerds were all sitting there complaining about this trade. All the minor league prospect lovers. Oh, my God, they traded Will Myers for James Shields and Wade Davis and, you know, the guy who played second base. Yeah, and they won a World Series because of that. Prospects are suspect until they get to the big league level and develop. And that's why everybody in this organization, other than Witt and Reagans, are available for a trade at this point in time because you have to make your big league ball club better. So the Royals did that with Davis and, you know, those guys. Oh, and then they did it again when they traded a handful of prospects that nobody wanted to part with to Cincinnati and got Johnny Cueto back in return. And then did the same thing and traded prospects, Sean Manaea being one of them, to get Ben Zobrist back in return. Both guys, you don't win a world championship if you don't have them on your roster. And that 2014 and 2015 season, by making those moves and getting those guys, it's the greatest sports time of our life because it was the first. And all of those prospects, guarantee you can't name half of them that they traded away. But at those times, people are like, oh my God, we're trading all of these prospects. 90% of the time, these prospects are never going to do anything at the big league level. So trade them and get them the hell out and bring in positive big league talent that knows how to play at the big league level and can win at the big league level. Enough with the prospect stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm indifferent because I don't think I'd answer. I mean, I would answer the phone, obviously, but I would not. It'd have to be a significant haul for somebody to come and get Caglione just because of where he's at and what he could mean for a team that would need somebody like that under control of a cheap contract.
And that's what,
like,
they did for Wade Davis or for, what's his name? Will Myers. Yeah. He was the Jack Caglione of his day, right?
Yeah.
That was the guy. And they got a starter. They got another guy they didn't know what to do with. And then they got Elliot, you know, Thomas.
And then by doing
that,
they went through a full decade of having nothing because they went for 2 years. Now they won.
And they won a championship.
But they went 10 years by completely emptying the house. I don't think you need to empty the house for 1 year of maybe a chance at success. They did that, and then it dissipated very quickly.
It did, because they didn't backfill.
They didn't have anything to replace it.
And so that's on them for not drafting the right way or however you want to put it. You
they're
know?
Already in a way in terrible drafting. That's why you have a new general manager here in town in J.J. Bacolo.
But like, look at all the guys that are producing. They're all guys Dayton drafted. Bobby Witt, Vinny Pasquantino, Michael Garcia, Cole Reagans was acquired, you know, late, or I guess he was one of the first J.J. acquisitions.
That was J.J.'s number one acquisition.
Yeah, yeah. So
Seth Lugo was there. Michael Wacha was his.
Yep. But I mean, Massey, Bobby, Vinny,
but none of those guys
Salvi,
are hitting the Bobby.
But they're all on your team. Michael Garcia, Kyle Isbell, Drew Waters. Like, those are all guys that are on this team that were brought in by the old regime.
And
right
how long
now.
Has JJ been here?
2 years.
So, yeah, it's very new.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, we're not comparing the two, but I'm just saying, like people forget, like, oh, they left the cupboard bare. Your entire lineup is basically guys that were here, you know, from the old regime. And Brady Singer, drafted by the old regime, gave you the ammo to go out and get Jonathan India, you know, at the top of your lineup.
He was the one guy that actually worked.
Bubich is working right now. He's from that same draft.
He is. And he's coming off the injury and then the bullpen session. And now he's 27. He has arbitration year 4 coming up next year. And then he's a UFA in 2027 at 29. That's another reason why you might be able to deal that.
Yeah,
because
trade him.
You've given Lugo the money, or I'm sorry. Yeah, you gave Lugo, but you gave, Reagan's the money. You've already paid Bobby. You're not an expensive franchise, so you're not going to give everybody money. If Bubich does keep dealing and all of a sudden you can make a blockbuster trade where you go out to whoever team who needs a pitcher, or even like, hell, look at your bullpen. You've got a lot of depth there in your bullpen as well. Like, you look at Hunter Harvey, who's going to come back. You look at Daniel Lynch. I'm sure someone would love to have a left-handed bullpen guy like Daniel Lynch, or even try to make him like a minor starter for what he's
that
done.
That same Singer draft, right? It was Lynch, Singer, Bubich, right? And Jonathan Bolin, who I heard his name mentioned last night, that he may be part of this thing too, moving forward.
And you know, Lynch has had a resurgence in the bullpen, never really quite made it as a starter, but good for him that he's made it now. But yeah, I mean, I look at, you know, where you're going to get the most value for giving the most value. And I think it's either one of those bullpen arms or it's Bubich, because like Vern has said last year, when they were getting into the playoff situation in the trade deadline, you have the hardest thing to acquire and you have the easiest thing to get something back from. You have arms. You don't need to go get an arm.
Right.
You don't have bats. You need to go get a bat. And I'm going to run with this until they do it. You got to go get a bat, whether that's somebody from a lower system or whether that's somebody that's out there in the major leagues today. But unfortunately, the way the world works, to get something, you got to give something. And unfortunately, Alec Marsh ain't going to be that guy.
No, come on. I mean, this is ridiculous to think you could trade Alec Marsh and get something back in return that's legitimate at the big league level. We got to stop thinking like
that. You know, because, you know, we call out Vinny Pasquantino yesterday. Hey, you need to start hitting you know, whatever. Cody then took credit in the bullpen saying it's because I sang a song 2 days ago. Okay. That was a true story. And then I told Gold, I was like,
you know what? Brett Veach is good because I made a song.
And I told Gold, I was like, why wouldn't you go trade Bubich? He goes, oh, really? And I was like, it's a name. He's doing well. You'll get
some stuff
for it. I love
the Bubich trade. I think it's a great one, Dusty. I love it.
Thank you. And then Gold says it's Lorenzen is the name that you would move.
But you're not going to get as much back for Lorenzen as
you
would
for Bubich.
You
might get for Chris Bubich.
You need a major bat, man. If you want to make a major trade, you've got to be willing to part with major pieces in that trade. And they were. And they were bold, man. Go be bold, especially this year, especially with the possibility of 27 not existing. And you've got this, as we can continue to say, World Series rotation, minor league offense, right? Go out there and be a major league rotation, or a World Series rotation, and then a major league lineup. All you need is one bat. If Vinny starts to produce, because Salvi already is, we're fine with him now. He's gotten back on the right track. But if Vinny produces and you go out and get another bat, come on now, let's go.
Yeah, so Bubich, 2 years left of his contract. He's an unrestricted free agent in 2027. He's got arbitration year 4 next year. So right now making $3 million.
That's
not
cheap.
Not a ton of money. You know, says, you know, what he's doing. He's a lefty. I know that's tough to get rid of. But look, man, like, that's kind of the way it works. Like, you know,
I'm tired of like the excuse making. Well, he's, you know, and I'm not saying that's you, but like, he's a lefty or we should get, no, trade everybody to get better. That's gotta be the mantra. Other than Bobby and Sal or in Reagan's, trade everybody. And nobody's going to give you anything for Salvi at this point in time. He doesn't want to go anywhere. So he'll nix any trade. So he's kind of off the books too, but you've got the ability right now to be better than where you are, and you're in a really good spot right now. Are you willing to go out there and get better? Are you willing to do what it takes to go out there and be better? Like Brett Veach, he makes deals all the time, right? Wheeling and dealing picks and whatnot. Be willing to go out there and do those moves. And I know they are. I know JJ is. You just got to wait for the right dance partner. And through 1 month of the season, basically all of your dance partners are the White Sox, which are not going to trade with you, and the Rockies. And I'm not sure exactly what they have on their roster right about now.
They got a guy that destroyed us in their lineup. Hit like a home run every game. Couldn't remember his name, to be honest with you. But
I keep going back. For me, Nolan Arenado is the topic, or not the topic, the player that I kind of think fits perfect here in Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I don't necessarily want that. A guy that I would, you know, I don't know if you would trade Bubich for him, but I mean, Brent Rooker's still out there, and he just signed a five-year contract with the A's.
You had him here. You let him go for no reason at all. That's a bad move by the Royals.
How long ago was that?
2 years ago.
Oh. I'm just...
The first winter that JJ was the GM, they allowed Brent Rooker to just...
So you blame JJ for that?
Well, he's the GM. If we're going to give him credit for Cole Reagans, we're going to give him the blame for Brent Rooker. I think that's only fair.
What was Rooker doing in Kansas City like before he left?
I don't know. You have to look up his numbers. I don't know, but they let him go. He was on the 40-man. They took him off, I guess, the 40-man roster, and then he went to Oakland and signed, and,
yeah,
you know, here we sit. Like, that move right there, that's a bad move because it has so many residual effects, because then you got to go out and spend money on Hunter Renfro for 2 years to replace that guy that you had. But everybody makes bad moves. It happens, right? You know, just like we can't celebrate everybody for every great move they make. You can't criticize it. Bad moves happen all the time. Every general manager in every sport has made bad moves.
Yeah. Rooker right now, 30 years old. So he's up there with all the others. So basically you could call that MLB prime, making $4 million, $8 million, makes $14 million in 27, $15 million in 28, $19 and 29, and then gets the big year, $22 million in 2030. So,
and the A's are also above 500 too. Like yeah, they may not have an an opportunity or a want to trade their guys.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not saying that they would. I'm just saying like if that's a guy that like you want to say like, well, who would you get for Bubich? You could get a guy like Brett Rooker, I think, because if the A's have other bats around him in their lineup, they're doing well, but they don't have a left-handed starter. They don't have a guy that can go out there and get them a game one in the playoff start. Now you do. And it's like, hey, pleasure doing business with you. Likewise. See you later. And then now you have a bat, you have an outfielder, you have a 30-year-old who literally just turned 30. He was a first-round pick, number 35 overall, and all of a sudden, here we go. I mean, I don't know. I just, it's the conversation to be had is that if, like, you've got to remember you can't take the unfair trade toggle off like you can on Madden, where you can trade, Jaden Hicks, Noah Gray and all these and go get Saquon Barkley and the bar is just fully green. That's not how baseball works. And again, I'm not advocating for the Royals to trade anybody. If this is the team they think can get to the playoffs and win, then that's the case. But a lot of you last year were like, the reason they fizzled out in the playoffs because they couldn't hit. They didn't make a trade to go get a bat. They went and got, but the other part was Vinny got hurt at a bad time.
At a bad time.
And you could only find guys that were, Tommy Pham, Gurriel, guys like that. So if you have the chance, and again, we still have another full month before people start really deciding whether there's like, two teams right now that are essentially their season's over?
Well, I think
you
say the White Sox and the Rockies are really the only two teams right now. And so that's what the next 40 games are for. The next month or so is for these other teams to kind of realize whether or not they're out of it. And the other thing that factors in, and I know people don't like to hear this kind of stuff, but like if you admit that you're done and you're waving the white flag, you're killing your business. And so a lot of teams aren't going to trade players because they don't want to kill their business. Because if you say we're done, we're out, well, then the fans go, I'm not going to the game. And then you lose the ability to have fans, coming into the ballpark. I think everybody in the East would probably say they're still alive. Baltimore may be the one right now that you kind of look at. They're six games under 500. So maybe that's a team you can start to sniff around a little bit. Obviously the White Sox, but they're not going to trade with you. The Angels are five games under 500 right about now. So maybe that's a team that you could potentially consider looking at. The Marlins, we know they always stink. The Pirates right now, they should be disbanded by Major League Baseball and have their players dissipated to every other organization. And then you've got Colorado. So there's not a lot of truly bad teams in baseball. The Nationals are probably up there at this point in time. And, the
Cardinals. Always June 1st.
So, when you get to June 1st, you'll have a better understanding of where people are. But then you've got to find a dance partner and you've got to be willing to give something up. Because if you want to trade Alec Marsh, don't you think everybody else in baseball knows it's not a good move? Like, these guys know what they're doing.
Other teams that fumbled the bag on Brent Rooker, Minnesota, the Padres, and I guess you could say the Royals. But he played 14 games for the Royals and hit 160 and had his first big year in 2024, 293 last year, hitting 258 this year, hit 246 the year prior. So, he's one of those flash-in-the-pan surprise players. So we'll wrap this show up on the other side, get you set up for Friday and the Kentucky Derby that is Saturday. Yes, we will be watching, as well as a 22-game hit streak on the line tonight for one Bobby Witt Jr. Listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Jay Binkley gave you the number one strategic way to pick your horse in the Kentucky Derby.
Are we going to have Binkley on the talk horse tomorrow?
I think he's doing 2-6.
Oh, he is? That was that's going to stop him from coming on the show.
Hey, coming to studio at 8. Your show starts at 2.
Just call in. We'll talk to Binkley tomorrow about a horse.
Yeah, no doubt.
He loves horses.
You know who secretly does is Henry Lake.
I was going to say that. We should have Henry on.
I can text him.
Yeah.
And see if he's around, because I know he gets goofy.
He does. Races. He loves it.
He's the guy in that video, that's like, watching the horse
race. Yeah, but I'll tell you, some of the best stuff that Henry's done is horse racing stuff. Like, he's so good at it and loves it and has a passion for it. So I'm with you. If we want to get Henry Lake on tomorrow to talk horse, I'm all for that, man, because he does. He gets into it right about now. There was a video going around yesterday from some of the guys over at MLB Network, I think is what it is, about, you know, the baseball and where we are with the hitting in baseball right now. Mm-hmm. And when you hear this, you'll realize, I'll tell you what, the Royals are not in a bad spot.
Good players, no different than Mohawk running in the Derby. Players are the ones that determine it, and I think the tone is set by Buster Posey and leadership, not by math. I think it's by, like, leadership and the humanity of the sport.
Yeah, math. The Twirly Birds are trying to ruin the sport. We're not going to let them.
So there it is. F math. The nerds are trying to ruin the sport, and they were talking about the culture that the Giants have, and it's done by leadership, not done by math. And I think that is such a wonderful thing to hear. I think we're starting to come back now to the Bob Fesco way of see ball, hit ball versus some of this math stuff. You've heard a lot about it this year alone, right? I mean, it feels like every other day, once a week, we're hearing somebody kind of lash back at the analytics of baseball. And while we get caught up in our own world of where we sit when it comes to the game of baseball, you have to realize there are 29 other teams out there right now that are playing this game. And so when I hear the Giants talk about the culture being set by leadership and not math, I'm refreshed by that. That feels good. I like hearing that, because that's what every organization should be based on. You're only as good as your leaders. And if you don't have real leaders in that organization, how can you do anything, right? You can't let math dictate everything. And so I heard that kind of conversation yesterday from those guys. I'm like, so let me see how really bad it is from a hitting standpoint in Major League Baseball, because people are upset with the Royals right now. And locally, yeah, I understand. We're not hitting the ball well. Nobody is in Major League Baseball. There are 20 players in baseball that are hitting 300 or better.
That's asinine.
Out of about 400 like position players in baseball, I think the number I used was 390. I took 13 times 30 because you have about 13 pitchers on your team. So 13 times 30 gives you about 390, right? So roughly 400 players. 20 of those players are hitting above 300.
And there's at least 40 hitting 280. So
103 players are hitting 230 or better. And 136 of the 390 are hitting 200 or better. 65% of baseball is hitting below 200.
So insane. To debunk math, you're using math. I think the problem is that, yeah, you don't have to be the best hitting team in baseball or the top 10 best hitting baseball, but you can't be dead last. And that's what they are. They're dead last in hitting. So, yeah, I mean, the hitting, whatever, is down in major leagues. Maybe pitching's better. You're 30th in runs. You're 23rd in hits. You're 24th in average. You're 26th in on-base percentage. You're 29th in slugging percentage. 29th in OPS. And you're dead last in home runs.
Yeah, so throw the math away and just get back to the basics. I just believe that the reason we're seeing that kind of shift back, people's heads are cluttered. I mean, you talk about it on the golf course all the time. If you're thinking about 10 different things, you're done. You're done for. You have to just go out there and let your talents at times take over and be who you are as a baseball player and not get bogged down by a lot of those stats. And I think that the information is so much, so fast, and for so long that these guys got their heads cluttered right now and they're thinking about all this other stuff. Take it away. Dumb it down. Make it simple for everybody. Because when things are simple and they're easy, you tend to perform better, right? The swing is smoother, the swing is straighter, you're not uppercutting everything, worried about launch angles and all this other crap that they're worried about in baseball. They just go out there and play the game like you did when you were younger, when you didn't have all that information, and make things easier on yourself, because there's no way 65% of Major League Baseball players should be hitting below 200. There's just no way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It is April, so, you know, not everybody's hit their full strength. Like, I think, Mike Trout's hitting 190 and Aaron Judge is hitting 427. What gives? Is Aaron Judge going to hit 400 this year? No. Is Mike Trout going to hit 190? No. Aaron Judge will probably hit 383 at this point, which is, I think, what Bonds hit when he hit 72 home runs. But maybe he hits 338, right? He's not going to hit 427, just like Mike Trout's not going to hit 190. Also, batting average isn't, like, the stat that judges hitters anymore. And it doesn't have anything.
Well, it is for me. I mean, like, that's what I look at. Like, you got to put the ball in play. You got to get on base. You got to produce runs. If you're not hitting and getting hits, You're not scoring runs.
Well, that's what I'm trying to explain, because the Royals had 11 hits last night and they had 3 runs. So they hit the ball. They didn't score.
But they had also second and third and nobody out.
And that's where slugging percentage comes in. That's where, like, on-base plus comes in. That's when, you know, all those things happen. That's where the home runs happen. The Rockies and the White Sox have more home runs than you. And the Rockies, they're 5-win team. They have a better on-base percentage than you. Again, I'm not arguing the fact that, like, hitting's down. I totally agree. I think pitching has gotten better as we've gotten older. Like, you look at the analytics of pitching, spin rate. That's how they're basing their pitch. That's why Paul Skeens is disgusting. He's not big and buff and bad. He doesn't have a huge ass on him like Marsh does, where it comes all his power. But, like, he spin rates it. He gets that. He whips that ball through there because it's helped that sort of game. Whereas, like, yes, I don't think the Royals are going to be this bad forever. But by God, they survived April with the 30th ranked offense in baseball.
Think if everybody was just hitting 10 points higher, how many more runs they would score. I mean, it's just somebody comes up and gets a base hit last night. 2 more runs score. You're up 5-0. That game's long out of your mind.
Again,
you're not worried about
that.
11
hits last night. 11. Yeah. And they had 3 runs. So it's more than just hitting the baseball. You've got to hit the baseball in situational timing, too. And that does bring in analytics. Because if there's a guy on second that is Kevin Biggio, who's not the fastest guy on the team but has a little bit of speed, you know that if you are in that spot and you're Kyle Isbell, you've got to put that ball to right field. You have to hit the ball to right field. You can't think about, oh, I just got to hit the ball up the middle. That's not going to score that run. Situational hitting has to happen as well. And batting average, yes, it is a fun stat to always look at because we choose it when we want to. But it's more so on-base percentage, slugging, and runners in scoring position that you're taking advantage of. If the Royals were 30th in batting average, but they were 15th in, you know, runs scored, I'd be fine with it because it means at least they are scoring runs, which is the important part of doing your offense.
Yeah, it is. But the way to score runs is, you know, putting that ball in play and getting it through and getting guys on, getting guys over. Like when they were winning back in 14 and 15, you know, get a double, replace the guy at second base, keep the line moving, just get hit after hit after hit. You know, you don't have to strive for the home run. A lot of it is because guys, that's how they get paid now too. I mean, the agents have got, you know, it's not just the teams. The Scott Boras, who's crushed Major League Baseball and has ruined the sport, has got it in their guys' heads too. Like, this is the stuff that matters. This is what you get paid on. So you actually have to have players become team players if you expect to win games at the big league level, as opposed to individual players too. And so you got the agents that are involved in this kind of nonsense, way too much information in the analytic department in the front office. Just take it all away, man. Go back to the basics. And it sounds like, you know, the Giants are kind of headed back in that direction. And I think it's refreshing because you get to a certain point and all the time you always revert back. We've tried all this. Players like, enough. I'm out of this kind of stuff. There's too much information. My head is swimming. I can barely tread water. Just let me go out there and hit the ball.
Yeah. I mean, it's and football's doing this too. Like, football went from hand the ball off, throw the ball to like now DVOA is involved. That's just like the way that we've evolved into sports. Like, this is where, like, it happens. Like, it's just,
yeah. That's, yeah, but I don't know that necessarily that means that it's better, though. It's different. It's more information, but it doesn't make it better.
I think the difference in baseball is that you're actually putting those analytics into how you play football. Running backs aren't running the ball differently. Their form isn't changing based on DVO. Play calls may change. Styles may change. But
and health.
The way you train, the way you learn to play the sport isn't changing.
Yeah,
in football or basketball. That is, well, basketball.
It's basketball, 100%
changed. Basketball, it's changing. But football is not.
Yeah, you're right. Like, you're not lining up differently or something as a running back because of... Yeah,
not tackling different
because... It's not really on the players. Yes. It's just on the coaches. Yes. And a lot of the times it's better that way. Keep that information for the adults. Let the kids do their thing. Don't tell them that Santa... you know, so, like, but that's a great point, Mac. I think what you're saying there, like, the information is there. It may affect what plays you call, but it's not affecting the way that the guys are playing the game, the actual players. Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Tell Tyrann Mathieu that in his last year in Kansas City trying to get a contract, trying to avoid tackling so he could stay healthy to get a contract.
Yep. That's not analytics.
No, but
that's,
I mean,
making a business decision.
Yeah, that's yeah.
And it didn't work out so good for him.
Well, he got paid.
Not here, though.
No, he went back home, though. Yeah. Got to go to his home place, just like Justin Reed. He lives here, but has from New Orleans. But no, I don't know, man. Like, I just... You got to get out of that bottom pit in baseball of hitting. And I don't know what that takes. I don't know if that's Bobby Witt Jr.'s hitting streak, which goes for 22 today at 12:10 here on 96.5 The Fan. I don't know if that's Vinny's home run last night. I don't know if that's just continued winning and success. You got to get out of that bottom pit. You got it. Maybe it is just C ball hit ball. I don't know. 11 hits last night, 3 runs. And I don't know how many, I didn't look at the box score of how many runners were left in score, left on base, or
how
left
many
in
those
scoring
hits
position.
Were Bobby's? Three?
Two.
Two of them?
Yeah, two. Vinny had one. I think Sal had one. Biggio, we can go on forever, baby. I don't know, man. It's just, it's one of those things. You got to get out of that bottom spot. So, tomorrow should be fun. We'll talk Kentucky Derby that's Saturday. We'll talk hopefully a series sweep. What's next for those Kansas City Royals? Because it's on to Baltimore. In my city, shoot.
How come we don't give enough praise to Kyle Isbell, too? That cat's hitting 240, man. He's a nice piece to this lineup.
Glad to see you're calling by his real name again. Go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, stay groovy. Coming up next, for 1 hour, Cody Golden Groove.